I have a word that I think is really important. You know, I remember when I started the church, I would get up and almost every week say, this is the most important word you'll ever hear. So I've stopped doing that because I feel like that about every word. But I do believe that this is an important word this morning. You know, the thing about the word is it's all the word of God. So it is all so important. And I really believe that, you know, God has a desire for us to know him more, to know him better, more intimately. God has a desire to fellowship with us. He has created us in his image and likeness with purpose. And part of that purpose is to walk with him. So it's an incredible blessing to be a Christian, to be one of his own, to be a child of the Most High God. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that once I was lost, but now I'm found. That he saved a wretch like you and me. Amen. I'm so grateful that he saved us. You know, I was telling the first group in the first service this morning, it is incredible to think that we all have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. If you have given your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, his Spirit lives in you. That same Holy Spirit is the Spirit that God breathed into Adam. That same Spirit is the Spirit that was at the parting of the Red Sea. It was that same Holy Spirit that produced miracle after miracle in the Old Testament. And then Jesus walked on the earth, and the same Spirit did all the miracles and raised Christ from the dead. That same Spirit is the Spirit that was then poured out over the church in the book of Acts. And then miracles and signs and wonders followed the early church. What you need to know and never forget is that it's that same Spirit, not a different Spirit, not more or different or anything, but the same one that lives inside you. Isn't that incredible, guys? So what you need to know is that the Spirit that lives in you has seen the impossible, has been at the beginning of creation. That same Spirit that resides in you. You need to think about this. This is so, we can go home right after this. We don't even need to preach anymore. That same Holy Spirit, that same Spirit of the Most High God that hovered over the face of the deep is breathing and living and speaking to you all the time. He is a miraculous God. He's an all-powerful God. He's a wonderful God. And so many of us know God in different ways. You know, if you study Scripture and you see God in all the different things that he's done, there is one aspect, one part of God that I think it's so important that we get a full revelation of what God is really like and begin to understand that not only is he a healer, not only is he a deliverer, not only is he a savior, and he's all of that, but he is also good. The Bible speaks about the goodness of God. And this is an aspect to God that I think many of us don't fully comprehend. And even walking away this morning, I don't expect any of us to truly walk out of here fully comprehending the goodness of God. But hopefully this morning we'll get a little bit more of a look, a deeper look at just what that really means. Psalm 31 verse 19 says this, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men." Listen, God's goodness is available to each and every one of us. His goodness is great. And you know, when I say this, I would love to read your mind so that I can know what you are saying in response. I believe that some of you are busy going, yes, he's so good. But I also think there might be one or two of you watching online, not here in the sanctuary, that are maybe going, I don't know about that. Well, I want you to see that, you see, it's not just about like maybe God is good. God's goodness is who he is. It's what he is. He is a good God. I want to show you something. If you look at the story in Exodus of Moses, you must remember, Moses has this encounter with God. God reveals himself to Moses in a way that very few people will ever see God in the flesh, when they're in the flesh. I mean, the burning bush experience. He goes and there's plague after plague, the supernatural power of God manifested. Moses sees it. Moses goes to the Red Sea and puts his staff in the water and the sea parts. Can you imagine? Moses and the children of Israel are in the wilderness and there's a cloud of smoke, the glory, the manifest presence of God, and there's a pillar of fire. God, they are literally seeing God. Can you imagine, guys? I mean, they are experiencing God in a powerful and in an awesome way. But it's interesting because if you look at the story, Moses obviously begins to spend more time with God and have this relationship with God. In fact, the Bible says that Moses spoke to God as a man speaks to his friend. Moses actually physically stood before the Lord and spoke to the Lord. Can you imagine, guys? And I'm going to show you in just a moment the relationship, how the relationship between Moses and God is just so unbelievable. But there's something that Moses does that is so powerful. And I hope that we can grasp this and have the same desire that he had. So now, with all the backstory, knowing that he's seen miracles, he's seen the power of God, he's seen the manifest presence of God, he's experienced God, he still has the audacity to ask an important question. Let's go to Exodus 33, verse 13. It says, "Now therefore I pray," this is Moses, he's having an encounter with the Lord, "if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, this is God now, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." We could preach a sermon right there, guys. Moses is saying, listen, I understand the value of your presence. I don't want to go anywhere without your presence, God. So Moses knows the presence of God. Moses has encountered the presence of God. He understands the value of the presence of God. And then it says in verse 16, "For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." And so the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Everybody just stop for a moment. I want you to just see, can you imagine having this conversation with God? Like, God, I'm so grateful, and Lord, you know, but I, you know, will you show me more? Show me your ways. Listen, he's already seen the glory. He's already in the glory in the sense he's seen God's power. He's seen the presence. He's seen God move. God is speaking to him. He's speaking to him like a man speaks to a friend. He's having this incredible moment, this incredible encounter with God. And God is responding to him and saying, listen, Moses, you have found favor with me. My presence will go with you. My grace will be with you. I mean, it's a good day. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, Moses asks this question. And I think that perhaps maybe we have sometimes looked at this question in a way that isn't exactly what it represents. So let's take a look at it. He says this, God has already said to him, "I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you, Moses, I know you by name." And then Moses says, he says in verse 18, and he said, "Please show me your glory." show me your glory. Now, as soon as we hear the word glory, most of us immediately think of presence. Like, the glory of God can mean different things. There's, in the Hebrew, what we call the Shekinah, which is the presence, the Shekinah glory, the manifest glory of God. That's when God manifests himself. Are you guys with me? But the word that's used here for glory is not the word Shekinah, it's the word kabod or kabot. Now, yes, it speaks of a heaviness. It's, you know, but when this heaviness in, you know, really suggests more what the other words to describe it mean. It means his splendor, his importance. In other words, listen, God has a splendor. He is important. There's a heaviness to him. He's the man. You know what I'm saying, guys? It means his reputation. So Moses already knows and has seen the presence of God. Moses has already seen the miraculous hand, the power of God manifest. And he's saying to God, listen, I want to see your glory. In other words, what he's saying is, I want to know you more intimately. See, we should all be asking this question. Most of us just want to see the miraculous. Most of us are happy to just experience God in some manifested way. It'll kind of like keep us going to the next encounter. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's time for us to get to the place where Moses did. He's seen the power. He's seen the presence. He's even spoken to God. But he's gotten to that place where it's not about that anymore. He's saying, I want to see your glory. I want to know you more, God. I want to see the intimate parts of you. You and I have a relationship. We have a friendship. I want to know you more. What's more powerful to me is the response that God gives Moses. Take a look at this. So Moses in verse 18 says, and he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, this is God now, I will make, watch this, all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. But how are you going to do that? So God answers, this is how I'm going to do it, Moses. I'm going to proclaim my name to you. That's the first thing. See, God reveals himself in his name. When Moses asked God, who should I say to the children of Israel that you are? He said, I am that I am. He revealed himself by his name. And throughout scripture in the Old Testament, God reveals himself as El Shaddai. He reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh. He reveals himself as Jehovah Nissi. He reveals himself as different expressions of who he is, and we call them the names of God. He is Almighty God. He is our provider. He is our healer. Those are the names. Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. He reveals himself. So he says to Moses that I will reveal myself to you in my name, in who I am. And so we know, and I've taught you guys about the names of God. And the more you study where God reveals his name to them in that expression, it is so powerful, guys, to see how God does that. But he also says this. He says that it's because of my goodness. It's my goodness. I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to show you my goodness. So he reveals himself in his names, and he reveals himself in his goodness. And we need to look a little deeper this morning. We could go on with this text because it's so powerful. There's so much to preach out of it. But I want to focus this morning on the goodness of God and why it's so important that you and I have an understanding or revelation of what the goodness of God is and what it means to you and I. So I'm going to give you 5 points this morning about the goodness of God. The first thing I want you to know is in this life and on this journey, you will make it because of his goodness. You will make it because of his goodness. Psalm 27 verse 13 says, what would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. I mean, it's really simple and easy to understand. We live in this land, the land of the living, right? And the only way we're going to make it is because of his goodness. We are going to see his goodness. If you're a believer, if you're a covenant child of God, you will see his goodness. What would have become of me? What will become of me if it isn't for his goodness? So you need to know that you will make it. And I'm going to show you more and more as we go on. You will make it all the way to the end because God is good. He is a good God. The second thing, and it kind of like leads out of the first thing, is okay, Pastor Alex, you say that God is good, I'm going to make it. But what about the difficult times? What about the difficult times? Well, the first thing I want you to understand is that God's goodness never runs out. It never runs out. Jeremiah 32 verse 40 says, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good for them. I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me, and they will never leave me." I want you to see that his goodness, he never stops doing good for you. So it doesn't matter what the situation is. No matter what you go through, if you're a child of God, he will show you and he will give you his goodness in every experience, even the difficult, even the painful, even the hard times. So the third thing is we need to know that his goodness is then even in seasons of pain. Even in seasons of pain. Psalm 23 verse 4 says it like this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I want you first to just imagine this because we've read this and heard this scripture so many times. When you are going through the valley of the shadow of death, it's a hard time. I don't know what your valley of the shadow of death is. I don't know what you have maybe gone through or are going through, but it's a definite time of real difficulty. It's a time of pain. It's a time of hurt. It's a time of attack, accusations, whatever it is that's going on. The valley of the shadow of death is a very trying and difficult time. And so the psalmist wants us to know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Listen, if you're with God, if you're walking with God, his rod and his staff will comfort you. Now watch. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. In other words, listen, even while you're going through that trial, that situation, that pain, that hurt, whatever it is, God in the midst of that prepares a table for you. Why? Why does he do that? Because he's good. Because he is a good God. He is a loving and a merciful God. And even in your trials and situations, it may not feel like it's good. He will provide goodness for you by even preparing a table for you. He will comfort you. Is there anybody out there? He says, you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I said to the group in the first group, have you ever been like in a place where you're going through a really difficult time or you're like really sick or something like that, and you get to the dinner table or you get to a table with your friends or your family and you sit at that table and suddenly you begin to feel better? Come on, guys. Have you ever been there? I remember as a little boy in my house, it was like that. I remember, you know, even when like things were wrong and my dad and I had a bad moment or whatever, and he gave me a good old spanking. Some of you need some more of those. I remember once we got to the table, everything was good. Are you guys with me? All right. In verse 6, it says, watch this now. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So even when I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, even when I'm going through pain, sickness, hurt, whatever it is I'm dealing with, loss, whatever the situation is, you need to know that because he is good, he prepares a table for you, even in the midst of your enemies, even in those who think that you're not going to make it, you're not going to finish your race, you're not going to survive this. God prepares a table. Why? Because surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Why? Because that's the God that you and I serve. He is a God full of goodness. He is a God full of mercy. He is a God full of love. Only when you've been there, only when you've been to the valley of the shadow of death and somehow you survived, when you get to the other side, you shout a shout that you've never shouted before. Only when you've been in that place where it feels like your marriage is over, but somehow God gets you through it. Once you get to the other side, there's a shout, a sound that comes out of you that has never ever come out of you before. And the only reason you can shout that way is because of the goodness and the mercy and the love of the God that you and I serve. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, you know, but now what do I do? Things have really gone wrong. Things have not worked out the way I expected. Well, I want you to know that the reason why you're going to be okay is because his goodness, point number five, works all things out. His goodness works all things out. The Bible tells us, listen to what it says in Romans 8, 28. And this is actually point number four, sorry. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good. All things. Even in that pain, even in that hurt, ultimately, eventually, the storm will end. The pain might still be there, but you need to know that even that, he's going to end up somehow. I don't know how, but he's going to work it out for the good. Why? Because you love him, because you've chosen him, because you've submitted yourself to him. He says, all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Pastor Alex, how do I know that I'm called? You're here. You're called. You are called. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All things work together for the good. What does that mean? That means that even the bad, he's going to show you his goodness. It's going to work out. His goodness will make a way. His goodness will make it. He will fix it up. Will clean it up. Will make it, make you whole again because of his goodness. I've been particularly aware in the last 3 weeks of hurt and pain and loss. Because those, unfortunately, are things that we will all go through at some point in our lives. And in those moments, we have to decide what we're going to do. Whether we're going to take a seat at that table that he prepares in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death. And you must understand that being at the table doesn't necessarily mean you're going to feel a whole lot better. But what you must understand, on the other side of the valley, he works all things out for the good. His mercy and his goodness gets you there and turns it around. And even though you may still be in pain, I want you to know that you're going to make it. You're going to be okay because our God will turn it around. And the last point, now I want you to know this is definitely not an exclusive list. But this one to me is so important, if not the most important. It's his goodness that saves us. It's his goodness that changes us. The Bible tells us in Romans 2, verse number 4, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? If you look at the life of Jesus, the perfect example, it's not judgment. It's not meanness. It's not, you know, self-righteousness that brought people to change. It was the mercy and the love that Jesus carried everywhere he went. And because of who he was, I need to say that again. Because of who he was, people's lives were transformed. Let me give you one example. This is a powerful one, I really think. Let's go to Luke 5, verse number 1. I'm almost done. I don't know where the time went this morning. Luke 5, verse number 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him, this is Jesus now, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus is standing at the Sea of Galilee. There's a crowd pressing him. He's struggling to speak. And so, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. And in case you're wondering who Simon is the guy that becomes Peter. And asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitude from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Let me stop there for a moment because this is so powerful. Listen, I need you to be in the picture. Simon Peter is not yet a disciple of Jesus. He's been fishing all night. That means he didn't sleep. They caught nothing, which we're going to find out about in just a moment. But I want you to see something. They're tired. They're sitting there. Jesus is preaching. He can't get his message out. There's too many people. So he jumps into Peter's boat. Coincidence, right? No, it's called a God incident. Come on, guys, pay attention. He jumps into Peter's boat. Listen, how can it be a coincidence? Peter becomes a disciple that changes the world. There's no coincidence. You're not here this morning listening to this message by coincidence. God has a message for you this morning. He wants to change your life this morning. Why are you going to wait till next week or next time? Make a decision to do it now. Now, get in the boat today. Come on, somebody. Okay. So Jesus is in the boat. Simon has been fishing all night. He's tired. And Simon, Jesus says to him, I want you to take your boat out into the deep. Can we respond like Simon Peter? If you're sitting here this morning and you've never responded that way, can you respond like that today? You know, it's never worked before, but you know what? At your word, I'm going to do it. And I can tell you now, he must have thought, this guy's not okay. We know what moon it is. We know what tide it is. We know where the fish are. There aren't any fish. We've been fishing all night. But at his word, they chose to do it. Now watch. Verse 4, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, he caught a great number of fish. And their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What is he doing? He's repenting. He's changing. Why? Because of the goodness of God. Because in one moment, he got to see what love looks like. And love came to him, listen to me, right where he was. Oh, it's so good. I don't know the backstory. I don't know what Peter's life was like, but I can tell you, he'd been fishing all night and he didn't do very well. I don't know if he was successful or not successful. I can't tell you. But all I know is that in that moment, in that second, he made a decision and recognized that his own heart was not a good heart. And that he recognized that the one that was standing before him did something that was so impossible. But not only was it impossible, it was beyond good. And in that second, that's why the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. He fell down and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." But I want you to know that the story doesn't actually end there. It goes on and Jesus picks him up. And I'm not going to say exactly word for word here, but I'm going to paraphrase and give you the story, which goes on and on. He ends up picking Peter up. And not only does he pick him up, but he says, "I will not just make you a great fisherman. I'm going to turn you into a fisher of men." And by the way, down the road, he changes his name from Simon to Peter and tells him that because of what you have heard and what you have seen, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against him. And Simon Peter becomes a mighty man of God. Oh, and by the way, don't clap yet, because this is not the last time that Simon makes a mistake. He ends up denying God, but because of the goodness, because of the mercy, because of the love of God, he still becomes everything God has called him to be. I don't care how many times you've messed up. I don't care what your situation is. Why don't you make a decision this morning to take a hold of the mercy and the love and the goodness of God? Come on, somebody, stand to your feet and give the Lord a shout. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's why Mary Magdalene, that's why she followed him. That's why she stayed at the grave when everybody went home. Because when she stayed at the grave, it was because her heart was so transformed. She was a prostitute. She was in a bad place. But because she'd encountered goodness and mercy and love, her life was completely transformed. Remember something, guys. When Jesus heals almost everyone, he turns around and he says to them afterwards, "Go and sin no more." But you must understand, the thing that carries them is not condemnation, but the fact that they've tasted and they've seen and they know that he is good, and they make a decision to follow him. To follow him. See, you cannot be the same when you've experienced his goodness. That's why Moses said, "Lord, I've seen your miracles. I've experienced your presence, and I love it all. And I love it all. I want to see miracles. I want to see the supernatural. But I've also been in hospitals and at funerals of congregation members. And I've seen people not get healed. I've seen it. But I've also seen in the midst of it, the table prepared. I've also seen in the midst of it, on the other side, how God turns it around and works it for the good." And oftentimes I'll think to myself, "Lord, how are you going to turn this out for the good?" And there's only one answer. Because he is good. He is good. That's why the scripture says it, like I've said it. Psalm 34, verse 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Now watch, he has the key to walk in it. "Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Watch here now. Not just because he does miracles. Not just because he blesses us. But because of who he really is. He has saved us, guys. Do you recognize? We've heard about all the goodness. But then he took his only son and nailed him to a tree so that you and I could be saved. Sounds like goodness to me. I don't know about you, but it sounds like goodness to me. "Oh, Pastor Alex, you don't know. The Old Testament, God did this and that." No. The problem is, you don't know him. And when Moses began to see who he was and what he was like, he said, "I want to know you more. Because I have tasted and seen. And I recognize that you are so So I pray for you this morning, church. Yes, I want you to be blessed and have stuff and be prosperous and all this stuff. But I want you to know his goodness. In good times, in bad times, in every situation you'll walk through. And know that in that moment, goodness is available to you. Why? Because it's who he is. Lord, show me your glory. I will reveal my name to you, and I will allow my goodness to pass before you. That's all you need to know, and you'll make it all the way to the end. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Sometimes, Holy Spirit, it is hard for us to comprehend that you've seen it all from the very beginning of time. You were there when breath was breathed into Adam. You were there when the Red Sea parted. You were there when the chariots and the armies were present with the prophet Elisha. You were there. You were there, Lord, with Moses and David and Joseph and all these characters that we read about in Scripture. The same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. And you were there when Christ was raised from the dead. And then breath was breathed into man again when Jesus stood before his disciples and breathed on them and gave the Holy Spirit to them. And here we are, and you are still here right now. Lord, we are so grateful for miracles, for signs and for wonders. We are so grateful for your blessings, for your provision, for your protection, for all that you do. But we are even more grateful for all that you are. You are so good. I pray that that goodness will follow these in this place, and even those that are watching online, that goodness will follow them all the days of their life. For surely goodness and mercy will follow them. Surely all things, even the bad, will be worked out because of your goodness, and you'll turn it into good. I'm so grateful that you saved us, that you sent your son to die for us because of your goodness. And now we are in covenant with you. Jesus came and revealed you as our Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord, in our lives. In our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our children. Let your will be done. You and you alone deserve all of the glory. And we are just so thankful that you saved us again, a wretch like me. So grateful, so thankful. And Lord, I just pray for every broken heart this morning, every hurting heart, every disappointed heart, every struggling heart. I ask right now that you would reveal to them that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You were good before, you're still good now. And I thank you that you prepare that table, even in the midst of their enemies. And Lord, that on the other side, you will turn all things out for the good. We love you and we honor you. If you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I need to give my life to Jesus. I don't know this goodness. I've never walked in it. There is only one way that you can be saved. There's only one way that you can experience this, that you can come out from your pain, you can come out from your hurt, you can come out from your loneliness, and that is to give your heart to Jesus. If you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus, quickly slip your hand up so I can pray for you. Don't be afraid. Wherever you are, you say, Pastor, that's me this morning. I want to give my heart, my life to Jesus. I want to know that I'm saved. Quickly slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. Amen. God bless you, young man. Thank you so much. I'm going to do one more call for this. God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. If you're sitting here and you know that's you, don't be afraid. Slip your hand up. This is the most important decision you'll ever make. I want to include you in this prayer. Quickly slip your hand up. If you've come here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I used to serve the Lord. I've tasted that goodness, but I walked away from Him. I haven't trusted Him the way I should. I kind of went back into the world and I've really been struggling, but I want to come back to Jesus. I want to rededicate my life to Him. I want to experience that goodness, that mercy again in my life. I want to rededicate my life. If that's you, quickly slip your hand up. I want to include you in this prayer. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much, ma'am. God bless you. Anybody else say, Pastor, that's me. I don't want to leave here this morning. I want to experience and be back in that place where I know that the hand of God is on me. Quickly slip your hand up. I'll include you. Last call. God bless you. Thank you so much. In the back, God bless you. Thank you. If I can ask you, if you raised your hand, don't hesitate. Quickly stand up and come to me. Quickly, quickly, come. Let's give them a big God bless you. Quickly, come, come. Those of you that raised your hands, there was quite a few of you. Come, man. Come, come, come. Come and stand here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come, come. Come and stand here, young man. Come, 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 come. God bless you, man. God bless you. Stand here next to him. God bless you. God bless you, man. Hey, man, God bless you, young man. God bless you. God bless you. There was a couple more of you coming. Come, come, come. Let them come. Let's give them a big God bless you. Come on, let's give them a big God bless you. Amen. Amen. Come and stand here. God bless you. You are so precious. Thank you. You are so precious. Amen. Amen. Can we stretch our hands out towards them? Guys, I want you to pray this prayer this morning from your heart. What's important now in this moment is nobody else. It's just you and the Lord. I remember the day that I did this. And just by the way, I did this like a few times because I wanted to make sure. Make it real. Make a decision this morning. Amen. Let's all pray together, but let you guys pray with your whole heart this morning. Let's say, Father, I come to you this morning. Today, I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. I believe Jesus died, rose again, is the Son of God. Write my name in the book of life. Today you are my Lord. Today you are my Savior. In Jesus' name. Now I'm going to pray. Stretch your hands out. Father, fill them with your Spirit this morning. Never the same, never the same, never the same. Touch her this morning, Lord. Never the same, never the same. This young man, God, let him walk, let him go a long way with you. Let him walk with you all the days of his life. This precious young man, Lord. Lord, just walk with him. Lord, let him be like Moses and desire to hear your voice, to know you more, to go deeper. This precious young man, Lord, just bless him. Just walk with him, God, in Jesus' name. And this precious lady, Lord, this precious lady that desires to know you even deeper. And I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys. If you guys turn to your left, there's Pastor John. You can just follow him out. There's also someone behind you that wants to pray with you. God bless you, young man. Bless you guys. Bless you. Bless you, brother. Bless you, man. Bless you. God bless you. Come on, let's give the Lord a big clap. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Come on, God is good. Hallelujah. God is good. He is good all the time. All the time, God is good. All the time, God is good. He's so good. Hallelujah. Let me bless you. Father, we love you. We are grateful to you. We honor you in this place. I pray for your people as they leave this morning, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one. Let them leave this place with the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. We are so grateful and so thankful to you. We honor you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we'll see you next week.